Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 10th seasonal Morphin Grid Morphe Awards. I am Josh.
And I am Jake, and we're so happy to have you here. Thanks for responding, RSVPing to your cordial invitation to this prestigious awards ceremony that I solicited categories for last night. Less than 24 Gregorian hours ago. So if you're not familiar with the Morphes, hi. Welcome to the Morphes. This is an award show where we give out awards to things from the season we just watched. In a weird way, because we have people send us the categories and then we pick the winners. So it would probably be easier for us to pick some categories and then have other people say what it is. But then they'd have to like vote. I don't know. That might be.
Yeah, we don't have time for ballots and like.
Yeah, I can't because I can't at like 6 p.m. on a Sunday be like, give us categories. And if instead I'd be like, everyone vote right now.
Right. And then like. Someone's favorite moment would not be nominated, and
so
they would stop listening to the show.
Yeah, and we only have that. The 9 people listening as is, so, like, you know, try to keep those people close.
Yeah, but much like a real award show, this one's fake, too, so who cares?
Yeah, it's made up. It's made up bull honky. So last night, I did get some categories submitted. We usually have a couple at the end that are like standards, like best, worst, and favorite stuff. Best and worst are, now that we do the by the numbers, that's a little taken care of, but we'll deal with that when we get there. So first up, we got a couple from Riley, former guest of the show, Riley Hopkins, at Rev Rye Bread. First is most uncomfortable person acts like an animal moment.
Hey, this is a good place to start, because I realized when I was reading through the through the categories we were sent that a lot of them have one answer.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's an award or not.
Yeah. So a lot of these are extremely specific that to the point where, yeah, there's a correct answer. So like, hey, maybe next season be a little broader in your categories. not to say we didn't get a lot of good, you know, categories like that, but there are quite a few that are like the Cole is dumb award for Cole being dumb, like for dumbest Cole. It's like, well, that's going to be Cole. There's only one dumb goal, and it's that one. So most uncomfortable person acts like an animal moment is the good kitty.
Yeah.
This is also known as the good kitty award for being kind of creepy. Second from Riley is the Rocky Memorial Himbo Pride Award for dumbest thing a dude does.
I feel like this goes to Danny.
See, my gut reaction was also to Danny, but then I remembered that Cole ripped the sleeves off of 2 separate shirts to make headbands.
Only one sleeve off of 2 separate shirts.
Because he ripped the second shirt, so then he got a new one and was like, something's wrong here, and tore the sleeve off, even though he still had the headband, because he didn't also rip his headband off.
My head is cold, and my right arm is a little extra warm.
It's too warm. How can I solve this problem? There's got to be a better way.
The dumbest thing Danny did was... What was the dumbest thing? I know Danny was dumb, but what was the dumbest thing Danny did?
I don't see, that's the other thing, is I tried thinking of a specific dumb Danny thing, and it was just like, oh, he just was dumb, like, the whole time. There was one... I don't remember. It might have been when the ninja... when Ninja Man attacked the thing where he had, like, a teddy bear, and he was, like, cute teddy bear. And he put it away, but that's not what I'm thinking of. There was something where Danny was like about to say something, and they were like, someone corrected him. He was like, oh, you're right. But I can't even remember because that could have happened 40 times.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cole's stupid sleeves.
Because he was also extremely proud about it.
Yeah, and that is strangely a specific thing that Cole does, is rip a sleeve off to make a headband.
Yeah, and like.
And it's so dumb. Just get a headband.
Right. I'm never going to get over the second one, because you still had a headband, and you could have had the best of both worlds. You could have had 2 sleeves and 1 headband instead. Now you got 2 headbands and 1 sleeve.
Maybe it's to show how resourceful Cole is.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it didn't play that way.
No.
And finally from Riley, they should have been leader moment when another ranger makes it clear they should have been the leader. So this is another one that has like a correct answer, but I'm going to try to turn this on its head. Because like obviously it's Taylor. Every time Taylor did anything, she should have been the leader.
I cannot think of the specific, but I know there was a time where like Alyssa definitely
stepped up. There was at least one in the – I don't know if it was in the finale or if it was right after Animus died where they were all like, oh, I guess we're dead now. And Alyssa's like, no, we're Power Rangers. We swore to protect the Earth. We're doing it. Like, there's nobody else that can do this.
That works for this one, but I feel like that might work better for another category.
Okay, well, I mean, we can give out multiple awards.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this just goes to Taylor.
Yeah, it goes for Taylor for
99 times out of 100.
Yeah, for leading the team. And then for being the only Power Ranger for a whole year. Next is Jolly by Nature at BBR Jolly. The Chad's Mermaid Girlfriend Award for most bonkers seasonal subplot.
What are some subplots that happen?
I don't know. So the first one that comes to mind only occurred in one episode. So I don't know if that's a seasonal subplot so much as it is an episode plot, right?
Well, this is Chad's mermaid girlfriend, which was only like maybe two episodes.
She came back. Yeah, she was there twice.
So I feel like a single episode story would count as a subplot.
Then do you remember how – oh, no. I think – actually, I do have one for this, and it counts as a seasonal subplot, and that is that Master Org is an incel, and that's how he became Master Org.
That's pretty bonkers.
right?
Is that he he went like full Snape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He went total Snape. I'm amazed he didn't try to raise Cole as his own while hating him.
Oh. Yeah, because the only other things I can think of is like Danny competes for a woman as a prize, but I wouldn't say that's bonkers.
Yeah, no, it's more gross than anything. The one I was gonna say, but it's only one episode, is that remember how Max had a shonen anime bowling teacher?
Yeah.
They taught him a magic bowling trick for one episode. That was pretty weird.
It was like a special attack that they had a canned animation for the Zords to use, and they never used it a second time.
Yep, that was pretty much. I think I'm still going to give it to it turns out that the bad guy is the bad guy because someone that he liked married someone else.
So, yeah, so he ate magic beans and became a monster. Yeah, literal monster.
Yeah.
Weird. Man, what a social commentary.
Yep.
Way ahead of its time, Wild Force was.
Way ahead of its time. Next is Flum? It's from Flo at Flonier. And again, that might be Flonler. I don't know if that's an uppercase I or a lowercase L. Please write in.
Please tell us. We're dying out here.
We're dying out here. First, Best Employee Award. He's self-employed, but I think Willie, right?
I would say so. Cause, I mean, Willie employs Merrick, but Merrick's not a good employee. He leaves all the time and just like mopes around and shoots pool by himself.
Yeah, scaring away paying customers.
I don't know who else works.
Nobody else really had a job.
I mean, Danny did have a job at the flower house.
Oh, you know, best employee is Kendall.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Because she ruled and deserved better, and also seemed like she was very good at her job. Counter that with Worst Employee Award.
I think it's Merrick, right?
I think it's Merrick. I do want to give a special mention to that one soldier at the army base who Taylor was like, hey, like just in her regular civvies is like, what are you doing? Something about your, like, I just want to go with the bulk thing about when that guy's not wearing proper foot protection. Like, and she just told this guy to like basically leave her and these kids alone, even though they clearly should not have been on the army base. He's like, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry.
He could sense that she outranked him.
Yes, from the grave. The My Back Hurts Award for a character who did the most work carrying the weaker parts of the season. I mean, it'd be easy to give it to Taylor, right?
It would be. I'm trying to think of like...
I feel like this might also go to Alyssa.
Because I feel like a lot of the weaker episodes were not carried by Taylor because she was not featured.
Yeah.
You know what? No. Alyssa might be a good one for this.
I think this goes to Toxica and Jindrax.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Because I think we've said a dozen times.
I need to think of the villains more.
Yeah, same.
I always am just like, what do the Power Rangers do?
Right, yeah. I think it's going to go to them because there was, you know, at least a dozen times where we were like, well, this episode was bad, but Toxica and Jindrax in it, they weren't. They were fun in it. So I think by definition, it's got to go to them.
Yeah.
And then finally, there's two more. The Most Wasted Potential Award. I think it's the fact that there's not 100 Zords.
Yeah. There's only like 27, I think we counted.
Yeah, I think we counted 27. I've seen 22, but I don't know if those are accounting for the ones that just showed up at the end, like, hey, what's up?
It's not even, because Wild Force does not mention 100 Zords. So taking that out of the equation, the wasted potential is when they were like, here's four more that we are not going to use. Here's pictures of four more Zords.
Yeah, and then like, oh, here's a bunch of other orbs that represent more Zords you could have had.
Because they could have done so many episodes that were like the elephant episode, where they just like have to hunt and find a new Zord to help them kill whatever monster of the week it is. We could have got at least 10 more of those.
Yeah, easily.
And cut out and trimmed a lot of the fat.
Yeah, for sure. I think this season would have benefited a lot from like a lot more standalones that led into the big plot, as opposed to some of the big plot episodes or standalones that were about dancing poorly. For example. and then finally, the How Was This Allowed on Television Award.
This is easy. Toxica eating a hot dog.
is that worse than Good Kitty?
I think so, because the imagery is a lot more blatant with Toxica. You're right. Pardon you're my right. French, putting a hot dog.
You got me there. Yeah. Okay. So we'll give it to the Toxica's hot dog. next is from Reggie at Deca Emergency. I'm not a kid for the ranger who does something not for kids and no Taylor. I don't understand the question.
I do want to say that because I noticed this as a thing too. When you submit a category but have to exclude somebody, that person wins the category.
Yeah, because obviously it'd be Taylor doing the whack-a-mole, right?
Yeah, like could you imagine if the Oscars were like best film but not counting this really good one?
Yeah. yes, that would be... I mean, that is kind of how the Oscars operate. The right one won this year, from what I hear. I think I saw one movie that was nominated for an Oscar, and I was really pulling for Jojo Rabbit, and it didn't win, but I am glad Parasite did, because a lot of people seem to like it. It just seems very tense, and I don't know if I can do that right now, so I'm going to watch it at some other point in the future. So if we're following this, not Taylor, then...
So a Power Ranger that does not a kid's thing... A Power Ranger for grown-ups is what this award is?
Yeah, then what's the Power / Ranger moment? I think, it's got to be for a Ranger. I mean, maybe it's when Danny f***ed, right?
Danny did have a walk of shame this season.
Yeah, so maybe that.
Is it that or is it Good Kitty?
The Good Kitty was sort of done to them. I think that, is the problem.
That's true. Oh yeah, let's give it to Danny. He's not going to win anything else, I don't think.
I'm actually going to skip these other two because they are also this has an obvious answer. And I just don't know how much mileage we're going to get out of those. So thank you for your categories, Reggie. We're going to skip two of them. Next is from Tanner at Sparky Upstart. Best character redeeming moment. Not a baddie becoming good, but a character you don't like doing something rad.
All right. So characters I don't like. Master Org.
Master Org.
Danny and Max.
Merrick. Half of Merrick. Lunar Ranger's fine. Merrick is not.
Yeah, I was going to say, every time Merrick morphs qualifies for this, I think.
I'm trying to think. I was trying to think if there's a Cole moment, because I know Cole had a lot of good stuff later in the season, but I'm trying to think of like a moment that was, oh, you know what it is? I think I have the answer. I think it's when Shayla kicks ass that one time.
Oh, yes. 1,000,000% is when Shayla beats Toxica's ass.
Yeah, that was rad. I wish it would have happened even one more time after that.
Yeah. That should have been like the mid-season reveal, is like Shayla can fight. And so now her being taken is no longer a threat because she'll just beat everybody's ass.
I mean, well, she revealed that she could fight, and then the next episode she gets taken by Master Org anyway. Woofa doofa.
Doesn't even try.
No, she's like, well, you got me. Guess I'm going to go cry in a prison cell in a cave somewhere or something where I can see the moon. It's not a great cave.
It's a cliffside cave.
Yeah. It's a cave with a view. Next is a best nutty moment.
What did the Nutties do?
The only thing I can remember Nutties doing besides being there sometimes was when two of them were dressed as waiters and they brought up the trash for Mandalok to eat.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I remember they did that was...
I feel like that is the only time they showed any real personality. Every other time, it was just they got beat up by the Power Rangers for 1 minute as a distraction.
Yeah, they would, like, grab Taylor so she couldn't run to where someone else was for a second. Like, that's it. And the Viper Memorial Award for Best Line Reading.
Best Worst Line Reading, yes.
Best Worst Line Reading. Now...
Master Org had a lot of bad line reading.
He did.
Nothing specifically is standing out.
It was sort of, yeah, because I think if this is the Viper Memorial Award for worst line reader, we would go to him in a walk. I think the best worst line reading has got to be something from Kite, right?
Yeah, but what did Kite say?
I don't know. Like, like, why are you destroying the Earth? Maybe it was for Shayla when she's like, would you like some spaghetti or whatever she said? Yeah.
Would you like this cold spaghetti I have in a Tupperware?
It's to the Tupperware. There's a tomato on it. You'll love it. here's my one pickle sandwich. It's not a sliced pickle. It's just a whole pickle sitting between two slices of mayonnaise up bread.
That damn sandwich.
It's the least appetizing sandwich I've ever seen in my life. I think I got to give it to Shayla for that, just that scene. I don't remember specifically anything she said, but I know it was bad.
Yeah, I don't remember any specific bad line reads that really stand out to me.
Yeah.
This far after the season.
Yeah. Maybe we should start recording the Morphies immediately after we finish. Next is from Chris at Kryptonian Blurred, the Rita Repulsa Monster of the Year Achievement Award for the Monster of the Week that was closest to destroying the Power Rangers. That might be the one that the deer yeeted, because they had to do, I mean, as loath as I am to give that episode, anything associated with that episode, an award.
I think so, because that's the only one that they threw into space, because they couldn't beat it.
Yeah, they just had to get it off planet and hope no one picked it up and brought it back.
I don't know what one that was.
It was the it had like blue and it had like ice and fire on it. It was like a tombstone or something.
That was in Sing Song, right?
Yeah.
Can't believe I had to just Google Wild Force Sing Song on my computer.
440-22 Sing Song, Josh. How do you not remember this?
Yeah, Tombstone Org.
Okay, so it was a tombstone. That one. I think it's the only one that came close to actually beating them.
Okay, so Tombstone Org is a tombstone infused with the spirits of six defeated orgs. It consists of Turbine Org, Camera Org, Freezer Org, Bus Org, Karaoke Org, and Samurai Org.
Karaoke Org was the one that we thought was a laser disc player.
It was like
we thought it was a stereo, but it was actually karaoke. That is not mentioned in the episode.
No. Huh. I'm looking at him now and just okay. Okay. Tombstone Org then for that one.
Yeah.
That was a bad dude.
It was pretty bad. Next is from Cameron. Let's see. The first one is Worst Line Reel, which we just covered. The Animus is Jesus Award for most on-the-nose symbolism I think that's probably got to be the, like, that whole episode where Kite was like, look at all the trash. Look at all the trash humans made. Is that really, that's not really symbolism, though.
No. I feel like the symbolism is when Kite, like, runs behind a building and there's a huge glow and Animus appears to save everybody.
Yeah. I think either that or when the Rangers go to hell and have to put a puzzle together so they can go back to the world. And there's just this little boy in a white, like, burial gown floating there.
Yeah.
That might be something.
I don't know if there was a lot. I mean, we called Animus Jesus because he appeared in the sky and talked to the Power Rangers.
Yeah. And he died for our sins 3,000 years ago.
Yes. But I don't think there's really a lot of actual, like, Christian symbolism applied to him.
Yeah, I don't know how much symbolism there is as opposed to just some metaphors that they just say, like, look at all the trash. The trash is because people make trash because they hate the earth. Get it? Like,
and you're people, and so I hate you. And so that was a test. I was testing you.
Ha 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 ha. Anyway, bye. And then he went away forever. Best Ginger X and Toxica moment. Oh, there were so many.
There were. Anytime they're sitting on the swing set, like, just talking about their day, I think that's it for me.
Yeah.
They went back to that swing set a few times.
They were there at least twice, because there was once where Toxica was sitting there bummed and Jindrax came up, and then later on, I think it was in, it might have been after Team Carnival, where Jindrax was sitting there and Toxica came up.
Yeah.
So they did it at least twice. There might actually be more, too. And since this season was so heavy on the Zords, how about best/worst Wild Force Zord/Megazord?
Best is easy.
Best is the Bear Brothers.
Bear Brothers.
Bear Brothers every day. All day, every day. Worst is the deer.
Yeah, worst is the deer. Literal bear hands.
Yes, the right to bear arms.
Love it.
It's so good. And that they shot fire and ice.
The deer is a brat and I hate him.
Yeah, deer sucked. Deer was a whiny baby. For Megazords, I really like the Kongazord.
Kongazord's very good. I think that's my favorite Megazord this season, too.
Yeah, and the worst one...
Or the Rhino version.
Yeah, Kongazord kick mode.
Yeah.
Ham mode.
Because I love that Rhino and that little Dillo ball.
You love the Rhino and the Dillo. And then worst Megazord, I think, is Animus.
Yeah. He's like a palette swap of the regular one, because he's made of the same Zords, but a little different.
Yeah, like
But he also has just a huge head... with big horns on his crotch.
Yeah, that was because instead of it being a bison, it's some sort of long-horned thing that I don't remember.
I don't either.
But then it's like, instead of like a shark, it's a saw shark. And instead of a tiger, it's a leopard. And instead of a lion, it's a black lion.
And also he's a dink. So.
Yeah. The other thing is that he does suck. And then finally, best/worst finishing move. I think the best one is the Dillo kick, right? Yeah. Like, that one's just really cool. Worst one is probably the bowling one that they only used once and never again.
Is that bad, or is it just because they didn't?
Maybe I'm just salty. They only did it once and then never came back to it.
Because I think, and this isn't a Megazord finishing move, but Merrick's little pool shot.
Yeah, pool shot's pretty weak sauce. Yeah. Especially because he practices pool, but he only does the one thing every time. Which isn't how you get good at pool in general.
Can you imagine every time at Willy's, he's just doing the same shot over and over again?
Yeah. He's not getting better at pool. He's getting better at a trick.
Yeah.
Next is from another former guest, Cassidy. At Mad Lobotanist, the Miranoi Award for most Y Terra venture. Okay. I'm trying to think of the most confusing thing in the season. I don't know. I actually don't know.
I feel like they did a decent job explaining
the things.
The lore in this season.
Yeah.
So I don't really think there is so much a Y Terra venture.
There is one thing that I have it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a thing that I wanted them to have explained or expanded on more that they never ever did. And that is, why Zenaku mask?
Yeah.
Because Merrick had to go to, like, a lost city to find this cursed mask. And they're like, well, that's it. You did it. And now you have the mask.
How about why 3,000 years ago, because the orgs were born from pollution, but 3,000 years ago they came out of mud, which is just like a natural
thing yeah,
that happens.
Just like dirty water, yeah.
Why?
maybe we say it's mud. Maybe what if it was poop?
Well, but there was no toilets 3,000 years
ago. Right. You
got me
there.
So where are you supposed to poop? Is poop pollution? I don't think
it
qualifies.
Really. No, because sometimes it's fertilizer, so I don't know.
I don't think, and look, your mileage may vary on this, but I don't think I'd call poop trash.
I would not put it in the trash, that's for sure. I think I'm going to give it to the Zenaku mask.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because, like, where'd that come from? Who put Zenaku in a mask? Are there more masks? Why was it in this lost city? What's going on with this?
Also, why did Master Org turn into beans?
Yeah, if he's supposed
that were then eaten by an incel and then he grew inside of him, I guess it took him over.
I mean, there's a lot of 2019 Reddit, I guess 2016 on Reddit imagery going on in this old show. It was ahead of its time. All right, next is from King of Doma, at King of Doma. Best Zord not in the original Megazord. Bear Brothers. Best non-Duke, non-General Org.
Ship Org,
yeah. Ship Org ruled. Love Ship Org. Now, remember how cool Ship Org was?
I do. He just, like, walked out of a yacht.
Yeah.
And was like, what's up? And just threw an anchor at everybody.
Yeah, it was great. Best moment in the crossover episode.
Which crossover episode? I'm assuming this means with Time Force, because there's also Forever Red.
Oh, it says in a crossover episode. Sorry. Oh,
okay. If it's in either of them, I'm going to say the end of Forever Red, when all the Red Rangers are just like, hey, remember how we're all friends and hang out except for Leo?
Yeah. Remember how we let Leo be here because he got into the club? We wish he was Mike. Mike is way cooler, but he's disposed. Yeah, in both episodes, I kind of want to give it to just Jason showing up on a motorcycle and, like, not dressing down all the other Rangers, but being like, hey, I'm number one. You remember that forever.
Didn't he called Cole, like, newbie the whole time or something?
Oh, yeah, he didn't call him Cole once. Yeah. He called him newbie or kid, which is great. Yeah, I think I want to give it to Jason showing. If it's in the Time Force crossover episode, it's Jen and Alyssa back-to-back shooting fools. I cried. That was so good. Also, Taylor getting Eric's gun, honorable mention. Because that's how you know that he's in love.
Yeah.
And next, another former guest, Claire, at Claire Mulcairn. Most egregious missed opportunity for a normal object that should have been an org but wasn't. There were no, like, regular cars.
There was not just like a car org.
There was a bus and a motorcycle, and I guess maybe that covered what they could have done with a regular car.
Because if they'd made like a Volkswagen Beetle org, a Big Bad Beetle org.
They could have called it the Big Bad Beetle org. Way to go, Sabat. This is why you had to sell to Disney, because you dropped the ball so bad you were embarrassed.
But
you
I don't
get to
I don't
do Big Bad Beetle org.
I also think doing like a car org would maybe step on Transformers' toes a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. There wasn't like a video game org.
I
of
was
any
just
kind.
Thinking that a Nintendo Switch org.
Or yeah. I guess well, it's 2002. That, at that time, Nintendo GameCube org.
Yeah.
GameCube org would have kicked everyone's ass. Yeah. It'd be too powerful. They couldn't have done it. They're indestructible.
All
you can't destroy a GameCube.
Just pick him up by his little handle, and then he can't do anything. He's just dangling there like a cat.
It's like a lunchbox for your video games. Next is the A Real Gun Award for most kid-unfriendly moment of the season.
Again, I think I have to give this to Toxic as Hot Dog.
It might go to Toxic as Hot Dog. It might also go to the fact that Cole's parents were both murdered on screen.
They were murdered by a man who his mother wouldn't sleep with.
Yeah. Yes. Who he just hung around and, like, they had the baby. Like, he just kept hanging around mad. y'all remove yourself from these situations.
Yeah, don't
that's
just,
all we're saying.
Come on.
I think I'm going to give it to that.
Yeah, because that is just a straight up murder of like a human of two human people that happened on screen.
Yeah, that we watched happen, and that then we saw their graves that they were buried in later because they were dead.
Because Scorpius shot a kid, but it was like a little Magna Defender. It wasn't like a human being.
It was an alien kid. So like, what's it matter? The Baseball Sean Memorial Award for most underdeveloped side character.
Kendall.
Yeah, I think it's got to go to Kendall.
Kendall was the best character this season that wasn't really like it was in like two episodes.
Yeah, the best not a ranger or like reoccurring often character.
Yeah, I like Alyssa. Jessica Reyes, is that her name?
Yes.
I like her. I think her portrayal of Alyssa is pretty good, but I would have liked to seen what Kendall's actress would have done with Alyssa instead. Because they are very, the two actresses are very different, I think.
I think so, yeah. I would have liked that. I think it would have been a different, I'm blanking on her name. Alyssa. I was like, Erica? Nope, that's not it. Jessica? That's the actress, Jake. I think it would have been a much different Alyssa, but I think it would have worked just as well.
I think the core stuff would have still been there. The college student, like team mom kind of character, but she would have been a different mom than this Alyssa.
I think so, yeah. And then finally from Claire, most improperly ranked episode. And there's a follow-up tweet that's just a tornado and some bowling pins and the eye emoji. I don't know what this could mean. Let's see. Let's pull up the list.
Let me look at it too. I'm sure we actually nailed it 100%. No, because we're professionals and we're very good at our jobs.
Exactly. We are the arbiters of this. Let's see. You know, the only one that I'm really seeing as being maybe too high. Is the tornado episode?
A tornado episode?
Can you maybe drop that down 10, 12 places? no, I think, I don't know. I think these are all pretty right. I mean, the ones that I remember anyway.
Well, I can't even find the list in here. Where did it go?
It's PRTF rankings because I haven't changed it yet.
It's way down here. There's no way I opened that many things.
How many docs are you opening over there?
A lot, I guess. All right, I'm here. I think Sing Song should be number one. I think that's the biggest missed ranking.
Well, everybody, this has been the Morphin Grid. that's sorry we didn't get to do Ninja Storm or anything else after this. I think maybe Click Click Zoom I would bump up a couple places too.
Yeah, that's pretty low. I also
actually
don't remember
now that I'm thinking about it, it was pretty stupid because they made Taylor invisible, and then everyone else but Taylor treated it like she had the plague, and she's like, "Well, I'm just invisible. I can still go fight monsters, and now they can't see me." They're like, "No, you're sick. You can't do anything."
Tornado spin is almost dead center, and I honestly feel like that is good for it.
Yeah, I might bump it up. I might bump it up one or two places, but I'd have to see what Ancient Awakening was about first.
I feel like Team Carnival should be at least above Soulbird Salvation.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I'm going to go with Team Carnival for my answer for this one. It should be it should be higher. It's barely in the top 10, and I think it should handily be in the top 10.
Yeah, I think you're right. Next is another one from Chris at Kryptonium Blurred. The Citizenship of Awesomeness Award for most heroic moment of an ordinary citizen that's not necessarily affiliated with the Power Rangers. Were there any?
What was that? Say that again. I feel like you said a lot of words and I missed all of them.
There were a lot. The Citizenship of Awesomeness Award for most heroic moment of an ordinary citizen that's not necessarily affiliated with the Power Rangers.
I don't know that there were any this season.
The only ones I remember were the construction workers that, like, saved the little girl who shouldn't have been there and her dog.
Oh, yeah.
And that was after they all ran away, and then they came back to prove a point that humans are good, which has nothing to do with trash, which is what that episode was about.
I wish they would have came back with some kind of like a lever or something. Like they just ran to get something to help her.
Yeah.
Instead of running away and then just coming back to because they felt bad or they heard Animus talk a mess about him. So they were like, oh, we'll show that dumb robot.
Yeah. I think that's the only one I can think of for people that did stuff. Or, well, no, because Cole's parents were affiliated. Because they were both like, no, run. Murder us instead of our baby. Leave him in the jungle to fend for himself. I don't know. The plan did not have long tail, I don't think.
Yeah, I feel like this has to be the construction workers. I don't think anything else really qualifies for this.
Yeah, I don't really remember like anybody else doing anything. Next is from Benny at Ben Active. Favorite episode title?
Oh, well, let me pull that list back up.
Yeah. Is that of ours or of...
I'm going to assume it means, like, actual episode title. Hello, Bare Necessities is pretty good.
Bare Necessities is pretty good.
But how? But is that a better episode title than Sing Song?
You're on thin ice, mister.
All right, here's a couple real favorites of mine.
Okay.
Just episode, not taking into account anything that happens within the episode, just the title by itself.
Yeah.
Bare Necessities.
Very good.
Click, click, zoom.
Yeah. Somehow very good name.
And that might be it, because a lot of these are just like, oh, Curse of the Wolf is a good title.
Yeah,
also.
I don't want to, I mean, this is kind of easy, but Forever Red kind of like hits like a lot of buttons for me.
Yeah.
It feels really good.
I think I'm going to go with Bare Necessities for my favorite.
I think I'm going to go with the other one. I'm going to go with
Forever Red.
Forever Red, yeah. Now for our episodes, I'm looking through because I'm on the by the numbers where Benny has our titles listed next to them. The Milk and Shed, a Hallmark original movie, might be my favorite.
I'm gonna pull us up in the podcast app and take a look here.
You Hate to Smell It is also pretty good. I don't remember what happened, but Tupperware Full of Sketty.
That's the one where she talks to to Kite.
Right, yes. I already forgot about that.
You Can't Beat Me a Third Time. This show is wild. Crack Open a Cold Banana with the Boys? I think that's our best one.
That's gotta be it. Sometimes you gotta crack open a cold banana with the boys.
I think that's it for me. That what or Brad Bird.
Brad Bird.
As spoilers, it's not Brad Bird.
Yeah, he's not the best.
I just added this to my library by accident. I don't want to listen to Brad Burt. The one I actually added is Mario's cousin Don Mario.
the next one from Benny is favorite support Zord. I like the spear of Pardolis. I like the giraffe.
I think that's a good one.
It is an attack sword, but it's not like part of one. It's part of the Isis Megazord, but that's just literally like the leftovers.
What qualifies a support zord?
That's a good question.
Because I want to give it to the armadillo.
You're right. Maybe the dillo gets it. Yeah. Because
that's a good, hardworking little boy. He's just a ball that a rhino foot kicks at the bad guy.
Yeah. Another one from Chris, the biggest plot hole award. Biggest plot hole award. I don't remember.
This just makes me remember how frustrated I was at the beginning of the season when there were three people that started Power Rangers. When there was like already Taylor, Max, and Danny.
It was Taylor, Alyssa, and then Max, and then Danny joined after that.
Yeah, because I remember being really frustrated about how, and I feel like they talked a little bit about like the before times, but they never showed a lot. And I don't really know if that's a plot hole.
Yeah.
As much as it's just kind of like a weird storytelling
decision.
Yeah.
I think the biggest plot hole is the lake that the Animarium popped out of.
Remember when they landed back in it and it didn't displace all the
water? Yeah. I think maybe there's your plot hole. Where'd the water go? Saban. Next is from Road to Corinth, at to Corinth. Best if not us, then who moment? I think it's Alyssa's.
That's Alyssa. Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, is that moment qualifies for, I think, this award.
Yeah. From Eric, at Eric J. Myers, might be the Power Ranger, who knows. Best moment for each Ranger, can't be dependent on another Ranger. I mean, Taylor's is, I think, I don't know, I love a lot of Taylor's stuff. I think Taylor's is her, you know, joining the Air Force so she can get back up in the sky and find the Animarium.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That or ruled. It's when she changed her hair.
That was also very good. Did love Taylor with the good hair. I don't know anybody else's. Danny's, I think, might be when Kendall was like, I believe in you. And because she couldn't say, like, I love you too.
She found out he's a Power Ranger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she knows. And then I guess they had to kill her because she was never seen again.
Yeah. Yeah, even in their finale, it's like, well, him and Max went on a vacation. He didn't go back to Kendall and be like, now we can be together now that I'm not a Power Ranger.
Oh, there's your plot hole.
Yeah, what happened to Kendall? But I think when she did that, and then he's like, yeah, I'm super powerful, and threw off like 40 guys, like Ivan Putski, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Max's defining character moment, or best moment. Oh, does Max even have a best moment?
I don't know, because
he did some cool rebound kicks.
Yeah, I don't even know if him doing the tornado spin is like a cool moment for Max.
No, I think the problem is that Max just sucks.
Yeah,
I don't know if Max has one. Alyssa's, I liked her telling her dad that, like, no, I'm gonna go to college. Like, I got to do this. And that was a good one for her.
And it turns out that he's proud of her for doing it.
And then Cole, the problem with Cole is that you know what? Cole's best moment was talking to a pigeon as if it was some ambassador from the pigeon race. That was pretty good.
That is the pigeon president that Cole got to talk to.
He's like, sorry, if you see any of your pigeon constituents, if they saw this little boy, please tell me where he went.
Have your people call my people.
Thank you for your service, sir. And then Mary.
Cole's best moment is living on the farm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just being good at farm stuff.
Because he's just so powerful. He's a powerful ranger.
He's a That ranger is powerful. Merrick's best moment is, man, I don't know. What did Merrick do that was good?
At the end of the season, when he had a crazy hallucination of his past monster self, and they went off on adventures together in the woods.
Yeah, that was something.
Because otherwise, he just, like, someone puts a fan on his hair curtains, and he's like, no, the wind is telling me that there's danger.
Danger's afoot. I gotta go.
Is Merrick Shadow the Hedgehog a little
yes.
bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because Zenaku is Shadow the Hedgehog, who lives inside Merrick, who is... Boy Shadow the Hedgehog.
Right. I don't know. Did Merrick do anything cool? Even when he was... A lot of, like, the Wolf Ranger was just him away from the team looking for something.
Yeah, I think that was maybe the best stuff that he did that didn't have anybody else. And he's like, I'll go save the ladies who were turned into wedding dresses while you fight the wedding dress monster.
Yeah.
I'll get some smooches. I'll make Shayla jealous. She'll want to play a song with me after this.
Hey, I know what the worst character moments are for Shayla and Merrick anyway.
Well, that one's easy. That's a layup. It's a dumb song. Next is from Christina at Seawoods Art. Most important episode. Could not be removed from viewing order without losing something important. Let me pop back over to the list. Not now. I'll rate you later. No, I won't. That's a lie.
I'm actually never going to leave a rating for this. What is the one? Is it the Master's Herald when they kill Toxica?
Yeah.
It might be that. That's a pretty big episode.
Yeah, that and that one, that like solidifies like the end game, like all of the end game stuff.
Yeah, and if you take that out, then like a lot of stuff, you lose a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Best animal. This is, I'm not saying Zord, I'm saying animal. And I'm gonna give that to the cat who is like to Lion Tamer Org when he's like, do a thing. And he's like, I'm a cat, I don't listen to anybody. And he just left. He just walked away.
Well, the options for this are that cat, the dog that Cole talks to and then adopts later.
Yep.
Or the pigeon.
There's also the cow on the farm.
There was. It's easily that cat.
It's got to be the cat.
There's also Org is like, do what I say, and that cat is literally just like, fuck off, and runs away.
There's also, like, in the first or second episode, there was, like, something happened and animals were running away, and among the animals running away was a spider monkey, which I do not believe are native to Seattle.
Probably not.
So I don't know why that was there.
But there is a jungle across the river.
You're right. You got me there. Best writer who isn't Amit. Woof.
I don't know.
I mean, it's definitively Amit. I feel like Jill Donnellan. I don't remember who wrote Sing Song, and I feel like it might have been Jill Donnellan, and then later on we realized that, like, that was not her fault.
She's not like the one that got fired for that episode.
Yeah. Like, she was just the writer that had to do the grim work of actually putting that dumb thing to paper, but
That is the only name I can remember.
There was also writer. Here, I'm pulling up the list of episodes. I just gotta go through four sub websites to get there. All right, Catherine Torpy also was a writer. I don't remember all the stuff she did. Who wrote Bare Necessities? Derek Rydall wrote Bare Necessities. That was pretty good.
Who wrote the elephant episode?
Oh, what was the elephant episode? That was Ancient Awakening. That was Suzy Shimoyama.
I'm just trying to look for like consistency from one writer.
Here, let me just pop down to Sing Song. That was Jill Donnellan.
I think so, she's disqualified.
I think, unfortunately, Jill, you gotta go. I think it might be Suzy Shimoyama.
I'm trying to pull the list up, but I went to the Discord instead.
I think the problem is some of these are, well, Jill Donnellan also wrote both the Master Heralds episodes.
I think it's Jill.
And Catherine Torpy wrote like 15 episodes. I think it's got to be Jill, because she also co-wrote the first part of the finale.
Yeah,
Catherine Torpy.
K-Tor. I think it's got to be Jill.
I mean, the answer is Amit Bamak, right? Well, because again, have to say you can't put this one, it's that one, right? But I think Jill Donnellan, Catherine Torpy, honorable mention, because she did like 8 episodes in a row this season, which were kind of uneven, but, like, that's a lot in a row, right? So,
yeah,
you know, only so much you can do about that. Next from Lewis at Boss LCA, best Hallmark moments. It's the milk and shed.
It's the milk and shed. It's the farm stuff.
It's all that farm stuff. That was very sweet. And the Maya Doolittle Award for best use of reading an animal's heart. I have a weird answer for this one. So I was looking up Power Ranger stuff a little while ago, and I was alerted to the fact that they shot a different ending for Cole that they didn't show, where he became a veterinarian.
Oh.
And there's him bringing like a dog out, and it's a beagle, and it's adorable. And he brings a dog out and he's like, here you go. Your dog's all fixed. And the little kid's like, oh, thanks. Thank you so much. How'd you know what to do? And Cole's like, well, she told me. And the kid's like, oh. But the mom's like, because you're a kid. Like, that's why, you know, like, it was like that kind of look. Right, yeah, but so it played like that. But we also do know that Cole can just read animals' minds and hearts and talk to them.
Yeah.
So I want to give it to that, even though it's not in the season.
That's not canon, because what actually happens to Cole is he adopts a dog and they run off. They run together.
They run to the farm. Also, apparently in that ending, it's implied, like, Alyssa has a wedding ring on, and it's implied that her and Cole are married, which is weird.
There was no sign of that coming.
Nope.
Not even also, a little bit.
Also, we both know that he ran right to that farm and proposed to Claire on the spot.
Yeah.
So, that, I mean, it's gotta be the pigeon again, right?
I think it's, the best use story-wise of Cole reading an animal's heart. And look, it's stupid and it's dumb and it sucked in the episode, but the best use of that is him trying to read an org's heart and there's not being one there.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to give it to that. Maybe it's in the first episode where he talked to the dog and the dog led him to Toxicut and Jindrax, who had kidnapped a bunch of animals to do illegal animal testing on him.
Yeah, I want to give that dog something. Let's give it to the dog.
Let's give it to the dog. The dog earned it. And then the last one we have on Twitter is from Luis, at Luis M. Orega. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. The Big Nasty Hot Dog Award for the Horniest Moment. Now, I don't think it's actually the Big Nasty Hot Dog. I don't think it's Toxica's Big Hot Dog is the horniest moment.
I feel like the horniest moment, and I'm struggling to remember exactly what it is, but I think it goes to Shayla. I think Shayla was the horniest character.
There was was it when she was kidnapped by Zenaku and she was like, "Oh, don't ravage me in the shed, Zenaku." Anything but that.
Please don't know. I think maybe
that might be it. There was also a moment where I swear to God she looked at Zenaku or Merrick and called him daddy, but I don't think that actually happened.
No, that didn't happen.
It was there. Like, the subtext was all there.
Her leather wolf daddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think – well, because I guess Merrick and Shayla ended up going their separate ways, but I was going to ask, do you think sometimes she makes him put on the mask?
Oh, for sure. That's why she got so mad in Sing Song, is because he wouldn't. He's like, it smells weird and it makes me into an evil wolf man. She's like, I know. So he's like, I'm gonna go to Willie's. I'm gonna go to my room at a bar instead. We got a couple on the Discord from Reyna. Worst never give up.
All of them.
Is, I think, all of the ones Max and Danny said, because I know Taylor and Alyssa both did one that were all right.
Yeah, I feel like specifically, because as the season progressed, like towards the end of the season, they used it in a way that worked. But before then, it was just like they were just throwing it out whenever.
I think actually it's in one of the last episodes that Danny's like, I give up. And Max is like, never give up. And he's like, you're right. That might be the worst one, just because it's so dumb.
It's like Danny is like, hey, please tell me never give up. I just need to hear it.
I just need to hear it sometimes. From Snarky Sean, worst Merrick hair moment. Boy, how do you narrow it down?
I think the moment when you see Merrick's hair, that's the worst one.
That's the worst one. You know, actually, I think. I don't know if it's the worst moment or the best moment, because it's a fine line, right? When your hair's that bad. There was one, I think it was later in the season, where he was like woodworking behind Willie's or something, and Cole came up, and Merrick, he had his head turned like down and to the side a little, and you couldn't tell it was him. And I think that might be either the best or the worst hair moment, but it's hard to pin down.
Yeah, because other than that, it just like, it blows in the wind, but it's like gelled and firm.
Yeah.
So it doesn't like blow it like very well.
It like rocks in the wind more than anything. You don't want your hair doing that. From Brendan, worst instance of Master Org's accents. I wish I could remember any specific examples. We've said this on other podcasts. We don't remember any specific instances.
No.
Period of anything. Oh, what was he said? Oh God, I can't. It's on the tip of my tongue. He said something to Ninja Man. It was like, use your something attack.
Yeah,
I don't remember what it was.
I don't.
But
either.
That one was pretty. I just remember being like, wait, what? Like,
yeah, I remember making fun of his accent this entire season.
Oh, the whole time, yes.
But I cannot pull up a specific instance of it being particularly bad. And I know that, because I know it was pretty consistently bad.
Yeah. I'll tell you what the best instance of his accent was. When he was just playing regular Victor Adler in the flashbacks, he just sounded like a normal person with an accent.
Yeah, when he was just talking and not also trying to do a voice through it.
Yeah, he's trying to do a voice and a character and like be menacing. It just, a lot of stuff did not add up. From Salt Petra, the Cinemax Award for Most Horned Moment. Oh, I think, yeah, okay, we just covered that. the Cinemax Lifetime Achievement Award goes to Shayla for seeming like she used to do late night Cinemax movies. and then Christina on the Discord has two. Bringing these back, Monster of the Week you'd like to see with their own spinoff. So what Monster of the Week should get his own whole show?
Like a whole show?
I mean, maybe it's a miniseries. I don't know. I mean, like, I want to give it to Shiporg, even though I don't know what he would do. He'd just be like a cool pirate ship man.
You see the ship coming, you're like, oh, pirates are coming. But then the ship boards your ship.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, dear, how do we beat that? This guy knows ships like the back of his hand, because it is the back of his hand. It's his whole thing. He's a ship. Maybe I would like to. So there was the one episode where there was like a scooter that got sealed away and got more powerful as it was sealed and turned into like a Kawasaki ninja robot motorcycle. That I would like to see, like, the racing circuit with that doofus going ring and then running kind of quick.
What about Tombstone Org's space adventures?
Oh yeah, and he's got six personalities in him that he's got to contend with. They all want different things.
It's like the Odd Couple, but there's six of them and they're in one body.
Yes. So you
in space.
So the karaoke org that was part of the Tombstone org that we thought was a laser disc, like a stereo or a laser disc org that turned into the karaoke org, that was voiced by Monica Lewerenz.
Who's that?
Dr. Fairweather.
Oh, okay.
Did not notice even a little bit.
No. I don't remember what any org sounded like.
Yeah, no. Finally, also, Ranger most likely to lead another team. I mean, I think Taylor,
I think, is literally leading a team in the Air Force right now.
Yeah, so I think it goes to her. Unless it's like another team that, like, who would fit in with another team? Because I feel like Alyssa would be a good leader for a lot of them.
Alyssa would be a good fit in a lot of teams, but I don't know about a leader.
I think Alyssa would be a really good leader for Lost Galaxy, because they needed yes. somebody to get them in line, and I think that could have been Alyssa.
Yeah, they needed someone that, like, cared
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah. And that's all the awards we have. All
right.
Thank you very much, everybody. So here's a fun thing. We haven't recorded the episode you heard last week yet, because we need to watch a movie first, and we don't have that kind of time today. So we're going to be doing that in a couple days. So hopefully we liked Dead Scare.
The Hazing.
/ The Hazing. Because you know, here on the Morphin Group, we love a movie with two names.
Yeah. What's that movie called? Well, it depends who you ask.
Yeah.
That's the movie for us.
That's the kind of thing we like to talk about. So hopefully that was good. I don't think it was. Judging by the character, the trailer,
yeah, and the actor that we're watching it for,
yep. So I guess we'll find out last week.
Which we're talking about like it's a spoiler, but that was last week's episode, so it's Merrick who's a bad actor.
Yeah, so it's Merrick. So like we'll see what happens there. Because the Aaron Cahill movies are not on the Hallmark app.
Yeah, I canceled my subscription to the Hallmark app yesterday.
Good.
And they were like, why are you leaving? And I was like, because all of your movies aren't here.
Yeah. What do you gain by not having all the movies on your service?
And then the next question is like, what could we do to make you stay? And I was like, put all your movies on the service. Like, I literally put all the movies here. I thought that's what I was paying for.
That's like, it's for $10 a month. That's a lot.
It's $7 a month.
Well, still, $7 is a lot.
Yeah, but they're like, we're adding new content all the time. And it's like, great, add the old content back.
Yeah, put the stuff on there.
I want to watch Christmas Cookies and Love in Store, and you won't let me.
Who is in Christmas Cookies and who is in Love in Store?
I don't know who's in that. Like, I don't know any of the people that are in that. But Love in Store, I caught a little bit in the middle of the night the other night. And it is literally like a girl that works at QVC. And it looked super over the top, and I just wanted to watch the whole thing, but I couldn't because it's not on Hallmark Movies now!
Hallmark Movies when? Not now, that's for sure. So we ended up finding a movie with Merrick in it because nobody else really did anything. It's weird. That's not true. Jack Guzman been in a million episodes of TV. He's been in like 80 things, like as like a cop, as like a beat cop. I've seen him in plenty of things. Didn't even know.
Who is that?
Danny.
Danny. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff as like a cop or a guy at a store or like little bit parts. Didn't know. Never knew until now. So there's that.
Now next time I see him in something, I'll be like, oh, it's Danny.
He's like, it's Danny. There was also a movie that had Shayla in it that was like a rom-com. I couldn't find that one, though.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, I did find the Dead Scare on Tubi.
Honestly, a rom-com starring Shayla might be a fun watch.
Well, let me see if I can find it then. So maybe instead we didn't watch Dead Scare / The Hazing, we watched
Sing Song.
I'd rather die.
Dear, a Sing Song story.
So next week we'll be back with Ninja Storm. We're going to be starting that up. It's going to be a real good time. Pretty excited to...
I am excited because I just realized... Is that the one? I think that has the Lady Blue Ranger, right?
Yeah, it's got a... I think her name is Tori. So guess what I'm going to do the whole season? I'm going to get to call her Tor.
Tor. Great.
Tor.
I love it. That's my favorite joke.
Good.
This is also a three-person team, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
It starts out with three.
Yeah.
So I'm excited because that's a departure from everything we've done so far.
Yeah, I've never seen a season where there was only three to start with. So
I have seen a little bit of Beast Morphers that started with three.
Okay.
And it's definitely a different dynamic.
Yeah.
But Beast Morphers also felt like incredibly fast paced from the few episodes that I ended up watching.
Yeah, my only problem with Beast Morphers is that one of them is a robot. Like, the Silver Ranger's a robot, I guess. And I just don't know why you wouldn't make that a person.
Because you could make it a robot. Kids love robots, Jake.
Do they? Are kids into robots right now? Are there robots in Fortnite?
I feel like yes.
I mean, there's llamas. I know there's a lot of llamas in
there. I'm sure there's like a big square robot head you could put on your guy.
Oh, you know what? Probably. That blocks your vision. You can't really see what's in front of you when you're building a ramp to launch your shopping cart with rockets off of, or whatever you do in Forknife. So anyway, we're gonna go. We'll see you next week for the start of Ninja Storm, but until then,
may the power protect you.
One,
two,
three,
four,
five,
six.
Burp snuck up on me during three, and I didn't want to be three.